CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hey, Claude, over there in the PNW. How are you?
PN Dubs. I hate when, like, okay, so we had a false start. Jackie and I were recording already for like 4 minutes, but then we decided like our interface wasn't great. And I hate just being fraudulent with you, you know, like having a conversation. We are sisters. That's like what's so great about our brand. We're so authentic. And now I'm out here just like lying.
What do you need to lie about? Like, I just asked you how you're doing.
No, I know. I just knew we were going to go back into, like, how's Seattle?
No,
like,
no. All the stuff that happened, those 4 minutes, gone, never to be seen again. Like, not meant to be. Just look inward and let me know how you're doing.
Looking inward, I'm doing well. You sound like you're not doing well. You sound like you're doing worse.
Yeah, so I've been sick all week. I'm very nasally right now. Like, now I'm just, like, in a sneezy phase, which is annoying. And annoying for, you know, my podcasting business. Mm-hmm. But I am feeling much better than I was, like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, I had a really high fever. But now I'm pretty much okay, aside from, like, these residual sniffles.
Yeah, let's talk about last week, which was so crazy. You know, we had this whole week planned.
Uh-huh.
And it was blown to smithereens.
No, let's talk about the fact that we're both sick as dogs with pretty much the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
Miles and miles apart, even though we're miles apart.
Like, that's literally.
We're digitally contagious. I hope the listeners aren't sick.
Jackie. Huh. We're viral.
We're very, very viral.
So thanks to everyone for being patient with us last week. Jackie turned it out on Tuesday, even though she was on death's door. Wednesday, we made it work with Shannon. Thursday, we had planned on taking off for personal reasons. And then Friday, we just both, like, were on death's door.
Yeah, we were both unwell. And what's really annoying for me is that, so I am feeling better today-ish. Like, I've been on the mend the last few days. Now I've thrown my neck out in such a way, like, I actually am in so much pain. When I take Advil, it's a little better, but, like, I was giving Harry lunch, and it was the most painful experience of my life, just, like, sitting there trying to give him a like, it was horrible.
No, and that's, like, that's a crazy thing about motherhood. It's, like, okay, so let's say I have strep. I'm not going to go into work today, but, like, you can't take a day off.
No, there's no days off, and what's crazy is, like, I'm sick, and my back is out, yet I'm still cooking, like, 3 meals a day, technically.
Right.
It's also so funny how I make Harry, like, as gourmet as I can for every meal. I always, like, do three food groups, you know?
Right.
And, like, because that's also how the plate looks. So I do three things for each meal. One of them is always a pouch because they're wonderful from Once Upon a Farm. But the other two are always, like, semi-homemade, Sandra Lee style. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how, like, he eats more gourmet than I do. Like, last night I made him fresh blended avocado with freshly pureed carrots that, like, required boiling and everything in a pouch. And for myself, I made, like, frozen fake chicken nuggets.
Stop. No, but by the way, I feel like that's parenthood. Like, Theo is in the best shape of his life, mm-hmm. eats organic, and, like, I'm a slob.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's how it's done.
Yeah. No, it's really crazy. Like, back in the day, if my back was out, like, you couldn't catch me getting out of bed making even, like, a bowl of chips. Like,
chili.
Now I'm, like, cooking, cleaning, just with my back out. What can
right.
you do?
No, that's wild. And the annoying thing about being sick like this is, like, I went to the doctor, like, she's, like, thinks I'm faking, you know? Like, Yeah. There's technically nothing wrong. She's like, it's just, you know, it's viral. Like, it's going around.
Yeah, that's like very, you know, nurse's office back in the day. Like, yes, showing up. My head hurts. You're fine.
No, go back to by class, way, wench.
But by the way, I was faking anyway.
Of course you were. Of course you were.
I wonder how school nurses suss out the fakes from the reals.
No, and it must be really tough. Because, like, you don't want that on your hands. Like, a kid who's actually sick is, like, miserable getting all the other kids sick. But I guess if the kid really has, like, no fever, like, not swollen tonsils, like, there's a million, like, I mean, I guess, though, if the kid, like, has the notovirus.
Yeah, you know.
Or no, you don't. Because
it's true. But I also feel like, I don't know. It's really true what you said. I feel like back in the day, though, like, you have no symptoms. You know, you're a big fat fake. But yeah, today, like, I do feel like there's more invisible illnesses.
For sure. So, like, I think being a nurse today is much more complicated than it was back in the day. Like, in a school nurse sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. Shout out to the school nurses who are like, really ciphering the real ones from the fake ones.
No, so true. And I actually feel like being a school nurse is like a super fun job. Like, the school nurse always had snacks. Like, if you had a bellyache, she'd give you saltines.
Okay, she had saltines.
Delicious snack if you bring your own peanut butter.
Also, like, other members of staff can have snacks and they don't have to be in a room that smells like antiseptic that makes them not want to eat their delicious food.
No, that's an extremely valid point. I'm so glad you brought that up. No, and then, like, you're probably always getting sick.
That, too. You have, like,
but that's just nursing in general.
Steel. No, but these kids
are disgusting. I mean, the illness you have totally came from, like, Michaela, right?
I don't know how it traveled here. There's, like, it's possible it came from Kaylord.
There are many theories.
There's many theories. I don't want to blame it on the K. She's a sweet girl.
But it was her.
She's a sweet girl.
She's a good kid.
She is a good kid. These kids are good. The other good news about me being sick all week is that I have watched so much TV. I have caught up on everything that everyone has wanted me to watch. And I just want to run through it really quickly because I feel really passionately about a lot of the things that I watched. First, I caught up on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I'm so glad that I did.
I'm all caught up.
I watched from in the beginning of the season, I skipped episodes while we were still doing recaps. So, like, I don't know why Crystal was crying in Mexico and, like, what else happened in Mexico.
It's so irrelevant.
Okay, great. But starting around, like, Thanksgiving, Christmas, I picked back up and I'm all caught up and I have so many thoughts and I'm really glad that we'll be able to recap it because it's about to get really interesting. So,
okay, really, so it sounds like we're going to have a heavy TV recap today, which is good because we've kind of been neglecting the TV recap. So perhaps I'll shift Unburden Yourselves to Tuesday's episode when we're back together on video. How does that sound?
I love that. Honestly, okay. I'm not ready to shoulder the burden today. So,
and by the way, today's TV recap, unfortunately, will not have House of the Dragon. We are recording this on Sunday because I'm in Seattle. I have a show tonight. So we are pretty good about House of the Dragon. Like, we'll get you your recap.
We will. I'm really excited to watch it. Then after Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I caught up on Only Murders in the Building. I watched the whole second season. I hadn't started the second season, watched it all, loved it. So many thoughts whenever we do recap it. I also watch, and I'm dying for you to watch, Manti Te'o Untold, The Girlfriend Who Never Existed. I'm so not okay over this story. Like, it was one of those documentaries that just had immense power, sticks with you, and I hope has a really positive outcome and, like, changes Manti's life in the reverse way that this situation changed his life 10 years ago.
Because, oh my God, it's like, stop, I'm gonna cry.
So fucking fucked, Claudia. You have to watch it.
Okay, I will. Olivia's been, like, ragging on me. Like, she's like, you have to watch it. So it's on my list of things to do.
Okay. Then I also watched Tell Me Lies, which is this new Hulu show that's based on a book. And it's so good. There's only 4 episodes, so that was a little frustrating. But I'm glad to be in it, to be a part of something. Like, we'll be watching every Wednesday at midnight when the episodes drop. If you haven't started and you were thinking about it, it's so good. Like, it's just good shit. Good college.
Love that.
Romantic stuff. Then I weirdly watched The Queen with Helen Mirren because I was missing my girl.
And you know what? I love Helen Mirren.
You know what I noticed? Like, all of this sickness for us, like, started on the day that the Queen passed. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Oh, it's sympathy. Sympathy illness.
Yeah, sympathy pains.
Did you see Matt Smith did an interview on the Today Show?
I did.
And he said that he knows someone who sat next to Prince Philip at a meal and surmised that Prince Philip did not watch The Crown, but the Queen used to set up a projector on Sunday nights to watch it.
But it's like they bulk drop the episodes. Why is she only giving herself one?
You know, I was thinking that too, that might be like a fault in his story because it's not an episodic show.
Yeah, but she's not like a binge watcher.
She's busy too.
She's busy and I don't see her like binging anything. She's very regimented. So maybe she spliced it up for herself in a very responsible way. Put herself on the schedule.
That would be like, you know, really on brand for Queen to be like organized and even with her content.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the movie The Queen with Helen Mirren?
No.
It's about like the week after Diana dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like everything that happens in the movie is exactly what happened in real life. Like, oh, really? They had fucking Ring cameras around the property because.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it was really good. It also made me really miss Prince Philip, but he's so funny.
I've been on like a Matt Smith tear because I've just become obsessed with him from Game of Thrones. And of course, I know that he was Prince Philip, but like he didn't do it for me as Prince Philip. But I still went down this like little rabbit hole. Did you know he dated Lily James for 5 years?
I knew that because I follow you on Instagram and I was very grateful to have seen that.
I was shocked. I mean, apparently he's been like way famous since before we knew him because he was in Doctor Who, which is like the show with a cult following that I've never watched. Okay. But for me, like I really became invested in the Game of Thrones era of his career. And I just didn't know that he dated Lily James, Lady Rose, for 5 years.
I'm here for that. It's funny I'm here how, for that like, too. When you're in Downton Abbey or The Crown, like, those actors, they just, like, recycle through.
They exist in the same universe.
Yeah, there's a few big roles that you can get. And Game of Thrones, actually, I feel like most of the Game of Thrones actors and actresses are, like, not new, but unknown to us American swine
girlies,
like, if you watch like if you watch a lot of British stuff, like maybe you know them, but if you just watch, you know, the usual shit, you probably don't yet. So that's why it's cool that he's from The Crown. Even when I was watching The Queen, the guy who plays Prince Charles plays King David, Edward, you know, Wallace Simpson and mm-hmm. Edward plays him in The Crown. So they're just like, and then he played Charles later in life.
No, it's actually nice that they pool, like they pick from the same pool of actors. It just feels consistent. It feels like it actually is royals.
They're actually related.
And they're growing up, you know, like Charles then played Edward, you know?
Yes, they're growing up. And it's like, so, he does look like his grandpa.
Right, because they're the same actor.
Right.
So we'll do a full like Real Housewives recap after the Fast Five, correct? And we have a lot to catch up on because we didn't do a show Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. We could get into some stuff. My mind is just like, I'm so caught up. Like, it's crazy. Who is she?
You just want to like vomit it out.
Yeah. But now I'm feeling shy about my thoughts.
Oh, she's shy.
She's so shy. But it's a Monday. I haven't been on the show since Tuesday. And I promised you we're giving you Queen news till the end of September. And I've got a lot to catch you guys up on. So,
Jesus, okay.
Excuse me?
How many stories are Queen related?
It's only one story a day with maybe a couple subsets.
Okay, I am getting over it. Like, I have to let you know.
Deal with it.
Like, unless there's actually something.
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
There's the rudeness, like, towards the Queen.
I know, that doesn't mean I don't still respect and honor the Queen. But, like, it's a little, like, overkill.
I haven't done a show since Tuesday, so people have no idea what's going on.
Oh, that's true.
And also, by the time you're listening to this, the funeral will have happened. So we will recap that tomorrow.
Great.
Are you going to try and watch still, or you're reneging on that, too?
I'm not reneging. My God, it's going to be 2 in the morning here. I've been working non-fucking-stop. I'm sick. Like, can I live? Okay.
Okay, should we jump right in?
Yeah.
Unless you have more that you want to update us with?
No, I've just been like busy, working, traveling, driving, flying, planes, trains, automobiles. Great show in Portland last night. I'm really excited. We're like big in Seattle. I don't know if you know that.
I love that for us. They have like the most ideal weather.
Totally. Even though I have not stepped foot outside because I'm just like seeing the PNW from the inside of my hotel room. I'm too sick and I don't have like, if I have any energy, I need to preserve it for my show.
You know what the official food of Seattle should be? Chili.
I couldn't agree more.
It's always chilly weather there.
No, because it's chilly outside.
Oh, and because it like the rain makes you want to make a chili.
No, and like the weather is chilly.
No, like, I got that. Okay. But like you look outside and you're like, oh my God, I want to cultivate a vibe, make a chili.
Where's my Le Creuset?
Where are my beans?
I'm going to have red beans for dinner.
How was Thrice when you left him back in New York?
Oh my God. I had a dream that I came home and Theo was stabbed in my bathtub.
You know, Bruno's here today and he really didn't need to hear that.
It was so upsetting. I woke up so early, even though I'm like totally sleep deprived. I didn't have to wake up. I got to Seattle at like 1 o'clock last night. So I went to bed at like 2 and I'm like, great. I don't have to do anything till sound check at like 5 o'clock. I could sleep till noon. Like, of course I woke up at 8:30 because I had a fucking nightmare.
Damn. I'm sorry.
It was devastating. But it turns out like whoever stabbed Theo, I never found out who it was because I woke up. They were just playing with my mind because it was a very shallow stab and he was totally fine. Even though like I got into the bathtub and like grabbed him because I thought he was dead and I was going to like say my goodbyes. But he's literally like, whoop.
That's so
Theo. He lives.
That's so Theo. He's a survivor.
He's a survivor. That is so Theo. That's so Theo.
Okay, well, I'm glad he's doing well in real life. And without further ado, here are the
Where
best.
Where are you?
Oh. Bruno's with his mommy.
Stunning.
Yep, Bruno's in the studio today. It's been about 2 weeks since I actually tricked him because it's like not normal time that we're recording. So he didn't know he was about to get stuck in the room with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad for it. And I'm feeling really grateful. And Bruno, mommy loves you so, even though you don't want to.
It was an ambush. You're like the Bobby Flay of South Florida.
Yeah, I'm ambushing Bruno into a podcast off.
You're Jackie Flo.
Okay. Without further ado, here are the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Fashion Pass. So we know a lot of toasters already know and love Fashion Pass, but it is truly the steamiest clothing rental service out there. You're going to get unlimited rentals for one flat price. Their clothes are everything of the sort, to put it simply, and you save so much money because you're not buying clothes all the time. What I think really separates Fashion Pass from the other rental services is like their clothes are actually cute. Like they're not grandma selects, you know, overstock items from other stores. They're good stuff, stuff that's being sold right now. They have For Love and Lemons. You know, you guys know we love Show Me Your Moomoo, Free People, Amanda Uprichard. So if you hate spending $200 on one outfit that you take a picture of and really can never wear again, you should definitely look into clothing rental and you should definitely look into Fashion Pass. They have a bunch of different plans. We're on the Trendsetter plan where you get to pick 3 clothing items and 2 accessories on every order. And then you can switch out your items as many times a month as you want. So once you wear something, send it back and get something new so you can be stunning 24/7. Really the best part of it is that if you rent something that you fall in love with, you can actually buy it directly from Fashion Pass, but you're going to get a huge discount. It can be anywhere from 30 to 60%. Off. It's a totally better option than constantly shopping, and of course, it's more sustainable. We have a special discount code for the toasters. If you go to fashionpass.com, use the promo code TOAST at checkout, you'll get $40 off your first month so you can try it for just $39. It's unlimited rentals for just $39 with code TOAST when you go to fashionpass.com. Don't miss out on that. Today's episode is also brought to you by Peak. Did you know that most moisturizers don't actually hydrate your skin? They simply seal the outer layer of your skin to prevent your internal moisture from leaking out. So if you don't already have enough hydration inside your skin, topical creams are not going to help you a whole lot. And that's why Peak's BT Fountain is the first skincare that you can drink. It actually makes so much sense when you think about it. When I first tried Peak, I'm like, oh, this is unique. Peak is unique New York. But it actually makes a ton of sense because the best way to hydrate is really from the inside out. It enhances and boosts your internal moisture production and preservation for results in less than 30 days. I have been on Peak for a few weeks. I've definitely noticed a huge boost in hydration. I did it before I went on tour because when I spend a lot of time on planes, my skin is really prone to getting like crusty and flaky and it just sucks and there's not a lot I can do about it and my makeup doesn't sit well on my skin. But I love Peak. I think the ceramides that visibly reduce fine lines and increase skin elasticity really set it apart from other products. The hyaluronic acid increases skin moisture content, and the electrolytes provide deep cellular hydration. It can also help dispel brain fog because the electrolytes are an essential part of your nutrient process. They're severely depleted of electrolytes, and that's why we have brain fog and we can become irritable in the afternoons. It's, of course, non-GMO, it's gluten-free, and it's vegan, and they have a delicious yuzu berry flavor. You cannot stop drinking it. Neither can I. Peak is offering a limited time offer just for our listeners. Get 15% off plus free shipping for life when you subscribe at peaklife.com/toast. So Peak is spelled P-I-Q-U-E. So that's P-I-Q-U-E life, L-I-F-E.com/toast. Use code toast for 5% off site-wide. 15% off, excuse me. That's code toast, T-O-A-S-T, for 15% off site-wide. peaklife.com/toast.
Great. Thank you so much, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our first story. Queen Elizabeth's top secret letter is locked in a vault until 2085.
I need to know.
I know, but here's the thing. It's like not what you think it is at all, but it gets you thinking about what you think it is. Two things. Let's just talk about this one letter. Queen Elizabeth penned a top secret letter to residents of Sydney, Australia, and it won't be opened until the year 2085.
Ew, wait, what? Wait. I thought it was literally going to be like, I think Charles is a moron. Justice for Meghan Markle. Like,
No, of course, that's what you think it is. But no, she composed the letter back in 1986 to celebrate the restoration of the city's Queen Victoria building that same year. The building which...
No, this is fraudulence and clickbait. Like, I saw this thing going around and I was like, oh, I wonder what's in it. I didn't read the article. I was just like, oh, that's so classic them. Like, we'll find out what she really thought of everything when we're 80.
I know. And that's really what I thought. And I actually was like kept up at night thinking like, right. I need to live until 2085. I need to know what the queen thought. Like, I thought it was going to be a letter that's like, here's what I actually thought about Harry and Meghan leaving. Here's what I think about Charles.
I've literally been going to the gym since I heard about this to try and increase my longevity. Like, that's, I'm shocked.
No, or it's like if I was passing away, like I would beg them to show me the letter. Yeah, to let me.
I was literally going to reach out to Nicolas Cage and have him steal the Declaration of Independence. Like, I'm shocked.
I know. And then it got me thinking, because obviously, like, this Queen Victoria building letter isn't it. But do you think that there is anywhere with the Queen's real thoughts and feelings? Or did she take that shit to the grave?
No, I'm sure it's in the hearts and minds of her loved ones. Like, I'm sure, you know, her close confidants, like, know what she thought about people and things in the world.
I think that she, like, writes diaries. I think that it's on paper somewhere because you have to, like, I think she thinks of herself as just like a piece of history. And if you think back to all the kings and queens that like came before her, we do have their diaries. We know like a lot of their personal life. We know about their personal life, not in the way that their contemporaries did, but only because we found out later on, you know?
I mean, that's like such an invasion of privacy.
But no, but I think she writes everything with the intention of it becoming public one
going
day.
Like, public.
I've read so many, you know, snippets of Queen Victoria's letters. The time that she was writing them, her constituents didn't know what she was writing, but now, like, little old me does 100 years later.
No, and I get it for the purpose of history, but just the sheer concept that, like, when you go to museums, not even the royals, just historical figures in general, when you go to museums, they have, like, letters, love letters, diary entries. It's like, historians deserve privacy, too.
Yeah, but don't you think some people, like the Queen, write it with
the knowledge.
The knowledge that it will one day be read.
For sure, but like that knowledge wasn't afforded to the first people who had their diary entries revealed.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, it just I really do hope that she left a little something for the crown writers when they get modern day.
She didn't. I don't think she did, because that's the whole point of the Queen, is like, you're not supposed to know what she thinks. She's not a political person. Like, she's supposed to be this neutral girly, and that's what she was, and I don't think she's going to change that.
Yes, but I think in, like, many, many years when it no longer matters what is happening today, like, we will get information about stuff just based on diaries, you know, NDAs expiring, palace officials. Like, just recently something came out from the diary of the doctor who was her dad's doctor. that he, that the king was like, euthanized. Like he did when he passed away, like he was intentionally, like he was given a lethal shot.
Right.
That just came out. But at the time, no one knew that. Because the doctor's diaries are now out.
I'm sure we'll learn more about her. I'm sure it will not be for an extremely long time. I hope we're still alive.
I hope I'm still alive. Like, really, that crushes me. Like, I don't have FOMO, but like future generations, like knowing intimate insights into what's going on with the royal family today, like kills me.
No, Jax, because then like you'll be in heaven chilling with the queen. Like you'll know
everything. And I can just ask her myself.
Right, like straight up, straight from the source, straight from the horse's mouth.
No, I'll probably still be standing in line, like in our next story, subset B, David Beckham, who gets emotional after waiting in line for 12 hours to mourn Queen Elizabeth II. This was really sweet. David Beckham got emotional saying goodbye to the Queen after waiting in line for over 12 hours to pay his respects to the late monarch. The British soccer star was snapped wiping away tears inside Westminster Hall on Friday. He was also seen burying his head in his hands as he stood with other mourners. He appeared to have lined up without his famous family at 2 a.m. on Friday morning and waited over 12 hours to see the Queen lying in state. He didn't seem to mind the attention he got in line and allegedly even brought a bunch of lucky fans donuts to keep them energized as they waited in line. This was really, really cute because can he also just, you know, skip the line?
I'm sure he could have called someone up and, like, gotten special treatment. But, like, the fact that, like, he wasn't making it about him makes me like him so much. And, you know, I think of David Beckham as a lot of things. Like, stud, soccer player, Mr. Victoria. But I always, like, not that I forget, but I don't, like, think of him first and foremost as a dad. And this is like so something someone's dad does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like pajam dad energy.
It really is. And it's just like he's such a Brit. Like just standing there with his compatriots.
Yeah, I mean, when we were talking last week about like the group of celebrities in the UK that always get invited to royal functions, it's literally the Beckhams and Elton John. Like they're up there. So if he wanted to just like walk in, cut the line, they would have arranged it for him. And it just makes me think of him as like this nice Hamish, down to earth, salt of the earth kind of guy.
Totally. And there is going to be like a really big reception for heads of state, big wigs, medium wigs, everyone. And they're calling it the reception of the century, Daily Mail. And I have to imagine like David and Victoria would be invited to that.
Right. But it's just nice to know that, like, even if they weren't, like, they still, they're just, like, they're just citizens, you know? They're just UK citizens.
They really are. I thought it was a really, really cute story. And it's one more.
It was
more,
very sweet.
Not that we're keeping score, but it's one more point in the David and Victoria versus Brooklyn and Nicola column.
Right. Even though, like, you know, Nicola claims there's nothing there, I'm just not believing her.
No. Everything that Nicola and Brooklyn do, I'm just like, there's drama. They walk down the aisle. They walk down the runway for like Vogue World or whatever. Drama. Like
Vogue World actually looked really sick.
Yeah. It looked pretty like fun considering it's about.
Right. Yeah. No, like Serena Williams was iconic. Lil Nas X was iconic. I feel like they did a pretty good job. When Vogue, for some reason, like especially in the last couple of years, like I don't even associate Vogue with Fashion Week, even though they're like the number one fashion magazine in the world, you know?
Yeah. No, it was giving like Fashion's Night Out a little bit.
Yeah, but like in a cute way. I feel like for so long Vogue was like so anti like digital, anti influencer, like, and now they're like finally catching up and like inviting like young people to their events, like even like Met Gala vibes. And I feel like it's working for them. I thought that was like a cool event. Good for them. It's hard to stand out when like every brand is like doing the most during Fashion Week.
It's also Claude hard to stand out when you were born to fit in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
That's not the quote. Anyways, that's your queen news for the day.
Well, it depends who you're talking to.
It's true.
It could be the quote.
That's your queen news for the day. I hope it was handleable for you.
No, it was good. It was good.
And I do hope one day we get the queenie letters.
You don't touch the queenie letters. Love it. That was a good reference. Really top notch. 10 out of 10.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll leave it at that for the day.
You're welcome.
Next up, hot new couple alert. Kanye West and Candace Swanepoel are dating. Page Six is told that Kanye is indeed dating Candace Swanpole, but sources also tell Page Six it's not exactly true love. In fact, they say it's BS to shill sunglasses. Conveniently, Candace is they say that it's the PR thing for his sunglasses.
Oh, his sunglasses. Right.
Conveniently, Candace is the face of Yeezy Gap sunglasses and the pair party together at a New York Fashion Week event, and it's not lost in the marketing savvy Kanye that a well-publicized romance would do wonders for the brand's profile. That's Page Six's words, and I disagree with them.
So do I. Kanye is like, he's nuts, but he's not, he doesn't do that. And he doesn't need Candace Swanepoel to make him like famous or relevant. Like,
or to sell his sunglasses.
And there's backlash.
No, and he puts out like literal rags and people like can't stop buying it. I don't think he needs help selling his sunglasses. I don't think he needs to be in a PR relationship.
Me neither.
Though now I'm thinking back to Julia Fox, and that wasn't a PR relationship, but it also wasn't like true love either.
No, but it was just like a relationship. I think Kanye is definitely like a business focused person, and you know, he wants to sell and he's a marketer, but I don't think he really takes that to his relationships, honestly.
I think his relationships sometimes, and especially these days, just become about like what, like someone being his muse, and it's just like them spending all their time together, and it's not necessarily like they're dating or what, or in love, but it's just like it's bubbling over from his creative process. Like, I feel like she's his muse right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that as something he does. Like, and I'm always skeptical of relationships because I think like so many celebrities are always being fraudulent. But I don't know. I don't see this. I don't agree with Page Six's take at all.
So do you think they're OTP? Actually,
no.
No, I don't. But I'm very much here for this. Like, I think they're a
cute
couple.
Probably like hooked up. It's fashion week, you know, shit's wild, people are tired. They probably hooked up, maybe they're going out, like a fling. I don't think it's the end all be all. I think it's great for her, I think it's great for him, and it's fun.
Anything can happen during fashion week.
So true.
It's just like draft day.
100%.
Ugh, draft day. I was triggered watching Manti Te'o. He had a really
He had a hard draft day?
He had a hard draft day, and it's because anything could happen. And that's like,
anything
you think of,
could happen, anything could happen.
You think, when you think anything could happen, you think it's obviously like positive, but there's negatives too.
So, I mean, for sure.
For sure. Are you ready for
sure.
our next story, a little legal news?
Yes.
Kim Kardashian and Scott Disick have been sued for over $40 million over alleged Instagram scam. I want to get your thoughts on this. Kim and Scott are being sued for $40 million for promoting luxe prizes on Instagram that are allegedly part of a fake lottery scam. People who entered the contests were allegedly promised a chance at winning items such as a first-class ticket to LA or a three-night stay in Beverly Hills and even $100,000. Sources close to the company that organizes these lotteries, called Curated Businesses, which sounds like an extremely fake business, told TMZ on Thursday that there have been legitimate winners and that they have the paperwork to prove it. However, the plaintiffs claim in the lawsuit that Kim and Scott and Curated Businesses organized the contest to allegedly sell their personal information to advertisers, according to TMZ. They claim they have been invaded by hundreds of advertisers, some of which are soliciting the plaintiffs with potentially offensive and unwanted content. Scott is allegedly the main organizer of the lotteries, and celebrities like Kim, her family members Khloe, Courtney, Chris, and Kylie have helped promote it to their millions of followers on Instagram.
But do they own the company?
I don't know what their relationship is, but I do feel like it's Scott's relationship, and he was like going to them for like a long time probably about it, and eventually the money was right and so they did it. But this is one of those things, it's like now that it's in writing like this, I'm like, oh yeah, duh. Like, what the fuck is that shit?
No, by the way, we've always known that those giveaways were fucking weird.
No, I knew.
And like kind of beneath them.
Yes, and like a janky way to make money. And that they didn't need to resort to those things. But never did I think, like, it would be, like, an illegal scam. And now that you think about it, it's like they do so many of them. We've never heard from anyone being like, oh, my God, I won. Like, you know, I was watching, I think it was Heather McDonald saying, like, you know, someone could have won and, like, made a TikTok video. Like, I won $100,000 from Kim Kardashian's giveaway. Here's what I got. Like, it's reminding me of that McDonald's scam, McMillions.
Yeah, but also, what's fucked about it, and I think part of the reason why, like, a lot of people have had like a bad taste in their mouth about it. It's like, because of the tax positioning, it puts the person in. Like, you have to pay tax even if you get something for free, and not even on the money, on the bags. So it's like you're winning something that's going to cost you money that you don't have.
Okay, but like, if you even won it, I want to hear from anyone who's in this tax situation because they won something.
Okay, I remember like a few years ago, like some Instagram account did a deep dive, and I remember them perhaps finding at least one person who won. But you're right, like if they're doing it as frequently as they are, like there aren't more people like posting that they won, making TikToks, totally.
And you it's know, always we have, been like
this was the least shocking thing, by the way.
No, it's so obvious, but I always like when I watch American Greed, I'm like, I wonder what's like the next sort of thing, like, or what's something that's like hiding in plain sight that's like fraudulent, such these things. These things.
Yeah, no, this is just so bizarre, and I'm sure they're all like fucking annoyed at Scott because like yeah. he begged them to do it, and now they're like being dragged and like have a fucking lawsuit on their hands, and like I get them being justifiably annoyed.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe it's not fraudulent, but it feels like
but
it
the
is.
Thing is,
and people have
I,
said
I was who, never under the assumption that they owned the company. I thought it was like definitely something Scott like helps them with, and like maybe he knew the guy who owned it. I thought that they didn't own the company, and if they don't, like they bear no responsibility. Like if you did a partnership with, you know, Skims, I don't know why, like if you did a partnership with LG and LG got sued by someone, like that has no bearing on you.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of Fyre Festival and all the people who posted about it, who like, you know, they're
that's true.
I don't know if they were held liable in any way, but just when you're advertising something and it's false advertising.
Yeah, no, that's
it's
true.
It's definitely a big question.
But why the Kardashians won't suffer and perhaps why they might not be caring about this is like celebrities of all kind, even most influencers, you have insurance for all of your brand deals. Like if you're a touring comedian, you have insurance if somebody trips and breaks their neck at a show. They can't sue you. You have a brand deal, you get insurance, you have like general liability insurance. So they won't be hit financially, even if they lose. They have insurance for sure.
Yeah. And I don't think that they're part of they own this business like in any way. I think it's Kim, Scott, and the business are named in the suit. Also, from what I've seen,
Scott might own the business, like a part of it.
What I've seen from people who have entered is that like you get so much spam afterwards, and it's giving It's giving Jen Shah.
That's not illegal.
Selling information. I mean, yeah, like data harvesting. That's an industry,
right? Like you, it's unethical. But like you sign up for Nordstrom. Nordstrom sells your data. They give your first name, last name, location, birthday, gender, all that stuff. That's just the world we live in. Selling information is annoying, but it's not illegal.
Someone sold the redheads in. Email address and
everyone
it's unusable now. I
tell,
have to start
tell everyone
new.
What happened. Well, you have to make a new email. The redheads@gmail.com is like not gonna work.
Yeah because like the inbox is like all this spam from like naughtychats.com and like the AARP. At first I thought someone was fucking with me because I started getting emails from the AARP, and I was like, oh, someone like put our email address in for this. But then there was a first name that everything was addressed to, so I was like, oh, whoever it is, like, they just spelled their email address wrong. So now I'm on this one email list where they put their address in wrong. And I felt bad. I unsubscribed as much as I could. But now it's, like, floods of clear-cut spam. And, like, someone made a profile on, like, Naughty Chats or what. I don't know. But I think it's the end of the redhead's email address. So I'll have to make something
new. That's devastating.
It's devastating. So I feel for these people who's email addresses, like at what point
hacked.
But like all of my email addresses, not all, some more than others, but like really a lot of them get so much fucking spam. Like,
yeah,
how much spam do you get until you start a new email address? Like, why do I have hundreds of like emails a day in my phone inbox that like I'm not looking at, you know?
No, I mean, I guess it's just like, how attached to the email account are you? Are you waiting for an email from a long lost lover? Like, then you're never going to give it up. But if eventually like less and less important shit is coming through to this account, you're happy to give it up.
Yeah, that's so true. Speaking of a letter from a long lost lover, did you see this TikTok about Camilla and Charles's relationship being the same as The Notebook?
Yes, I did. I thought that was a brilliant take.
I thought so too. Very compelling. And it's actually exactly what we were saying last week. That Camilla and Charles, though they're not for everyone, when you boil it down, it's quite a romantic story, much like The Notebook.
Yeah. No, and like you can acknowledge that while still having sympathy for what Diana had to go through, because she was really just a pawn and she got used and thrown out like yesterday's trash. Like, you can still think that, like, they should have been married and they are OTP and, like, they have a beautiful love story, while also acknowledging all the people's lives they ruined on their way to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really believe partially it wasn't their fault. Definitely Charles could have handled it better and not been a four-year-old about it. But no, there are a lot of similarities. I saw that TikTok of the girl making the comparison. Like, if you're going to romanticize and glorify Noah and Allie, then you have to do the same to Charles and Camilla, because it's literally the same thing.
Yeah. Damn.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
You're just ready, just like that.
Yeah, I'm ready just like that. I have a plan.
Okay, cool. Next story, Blake Lively is pregnant and she's slamming the paparazzi while sharing her pregnancy news alongside some candid photos. So Blake Lively posted to Instagram, "Here are photos of me pregnant in real life, so the 11 guys waiting outside my home for a sighting will leave me alone. You freak me and my kids out. Thanks to everyone else for all the love and respect and for continuing to unfollow accounts and publications who share photos of children. You all have the power against them. And thank you to the media who have a no kids policy. You make all the difference. Much love, XXB." And she posted a carousel of all these very sweet pregnant images, including an image with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Or the Swiftie in the room.
I love Blake Lively, but I do sometimes forget she exists, which I think is really nice for her.
I think that is nice. I think that's really ideal, especially for someone like her who clearly wants her privacy. Literally just said that. And, you know, you do a movie, you do press, everyone loves you, remembers you, and then you can go and do your thing for a little bit. And I'm not sure how far along she is, but so far she has been enjoying her pregnancy in privacy.
Yeah, no, it's nice. She looks beautiful. She's so stunning. Like, it's actually not fair that, like, a human being like her exists. And she's, like, she's so stunning and she's looked like that since she was 16. Like, that's actually how she was born, which makes me feel worse. Because, like, remember when they named Bella Hadid the most beautiful woman in the world? And it's like, well, that makes me feel great because that's not what Bella Hadid looks like. So not even the most beautiful woman in the world looks like the most beautiful woman in the world.
Right.
But, like, Bella Thorne, I mean, not Bella Thorne, Bella, what's her name? Who are we talking about?
Blake Lively.
I'm having a stroke. Wait. Blake Lively. Oh, my God.
You were stuck in
Bella. But, like,
Bella.
Blake Lively, like, she literally looks at, like, how she looked in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Like, it ain't right.
Yeah, she does. And I'm happy. But it's nice to have, like, aspirational people, too.
Yeah, but it sucks.
Yeah, I'm happy for her, though, and her mans and their family. Yeah. And she's sweet.
Did you watch the episode with Shannon?
Most of it.
So did you see the Ryan Reynolds thing?
No.
So, like, he had this like story come out. He basically, like, had a colonoscopy and there's a video to prove it. And before I read the story, I was, like, going off about how he's just, like, a thirst monster. And, like, I'm kind of over him and he's, like, desperate. And then I read the story and it's, like, this amazing thing he did for, like, colonoscopy awareness with, like, a charity. Like, I literally felt like such a bitch.
So you don't think that anymore? Like, that he's annoying?
No, I do, actually. But not as it pertains to that particular story, because that was, like, a nice thing.
It wasn't the right time to drag
on. It wasn't the time or the space for the conversation.
Okay. What about now?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like he's weirdly so A-list, but he also does stuff sometimes that it's, like, giving desperado vibes. And yeah. I'm not talking about the colonoscopy thing, because that was really nice, like, using his platform.
I feel like he's stuck sometimes in, like, this cycle of, like, clickbait, BuzzFeed, like, I'm going to do...
Chrissy Teigen vibes.
Yeah, yeah, he's, like, still on that, like, PR track. He can't get off. Like, now, like, the thing is, you know, posting funny TikToks or, like... He could be dancing with his kids, and instead he's, like, doing, like, prankster shit.
Yeah, like, he just gives, like, he gives, like, low-budget energy sometimes when he's so A-list, like, him and his wife.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say, but I chose the wrong moment.
It's okay.
And I apologize.
It's okay. It happens.
It happens to the best of us.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Wow, time, like, truly flies by when you're being hilarious with your sister and best friend.
Oh, my God. And don't forget about Bruno. Can you guys hear him snoring?
Rising stress, him rising stress.
Brassenstrassen, 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 Brassenstrassen. My sweet gorgeous angel Bryce, mommy loves you so, and I'm so proud of you.
Cause I'm your lady, and you are my bride.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
You don't have anything to say?
We still have TV recap.
Okay, you're just like going a really long time.
Okay, fine. Sorry, I do have something to say.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Next Evo. If you've ever wondered whether your CBD was working, that means it probably wasn't. And Next Evo Naturals is developed by SmartSorb Technology. It is clinically proven to help your body absorb CBD 4 times better than regular CBD oil. Because oil just doesn't mix with your water-based body. It works faster, too. When you feel stress coming on, you're not going to waste time wondering if it's working because you'll know that it is. So SmartSorb technology improves CBD's ability to be absorbed, getting into your system in as little as 10 minutes. Most CBD oil, whether that comes in tinctures, gummies, capsules, it achieves between 2% and 10% absorption, which means more than 90% of what you think you're getting is actually wasted. And Next Evo Naturals are scientifically formulated to deliver more CBD in a way that your body can actually use. It's proven 29 times better absorption in the first 30 minutes. So whether you're into CBD or not, there's so many brands out there now, and it's hard to know which brands work and which brands, you know, you can trust. Personally, I take CBD when I have trouble sleeping, and you'll know instantly if it's working or not because you're still awake or you're not. So I have found really great results with Next Evo CBD. I think the absorption's way better. It's fast acting, and it can help relieve, you know, stress, if you're feeling anxious, if you're having trouble sleeping. It's not just another CBD company. It's backed by more scientific studies than any other CBD brand. It's developed by experienced consumer healthcare and pharmaceutical professionals. It is vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, THC-free. The capsules and gummies are derived from 100% US-grown hemp. So you'll stop wondering if CBD is right for you. Just try Next Evo Natural capsules, gummies, mints, and topical creams that are clinically proven to be better absorbed by your body. You can also get 25% off your first order of $40 or more at nextevo.com with promo code TOAST. That's 25% off at nextevo.com, promo code TOAST.
Great. Our fifth and final story, some heartwarming news for this Monday morning. Manti Te'o gets a hero's welcome at Notre Dame as ex-football star makes his first public appearance at a game since the Netflix release documentary on him being catfished 10 years ago. I don't want to spoil anything about the documentary.
I mean, Olivia gave me like the gist, like his grandma died and some woman catfished him pretending to be his grandma's reincarnated spirit.
No, not even close.
Oh.
Olivia didn't say that.
No, maybe I misunderstood.
I'm sorry, not even close. Like, it's pretty close, but like not the reincarnated, not the reincarnated spirit. He was catfished when he was a junior and senior playing football for Notre Dame by this man who now identifies as a woman. It's like at the time, 10 years ago, it was a man pretending to be a woman online. Now she goes as a woman.
By she.
So, but at the time of they filmed the documentary, nobody knew that Renaya, who was the person who was catfishing Manti, that now Renaya identifies as a woman. So the pronouns are just kind of
out the window at this point
because of the catfish situation.
Right.
But he was catfished by Renaya, like they were in a relationship online. Stop. And Renaya like couldn't get out of it. Also, Renaya is like an insane fucking narcissist. Like,
is Renaya in the documentary?
Yes. And that's what makes it. But so that makes it really interesting. And between the two of them telling the story, and they really have, you know, with a similar story of how everything happened, between them telling the story and us hearing from Naya, is what she goes by now, and seeing like really how insane this person is, like really delusional and cruel. And then I think actually the thing that makes the documentary is Manti Te'o. What a man. The world was so not worthy. Like, and what a thing to happen to him. He was literally up for the Heisman Trophy, like one of the best football players in the country, ready to get drafted to the NFL. He actually, when he was a junior, after his junior year, they were like, he could have gone to the draft, but he decided he wanted to play his senior year at Notre Dame. And like the school loved him so much. He was like this huge role model for the whole community. And it was just, it's an amazing story. And after this
stuff, and this thing like this took him down.
This thing took him down. He must have lost millions and millions of dollars in like, because he should have been in the first round of the draft pick when he did draft, and he wasn't. And like one
Why?
Of these, because this whole thing, like, and no one knew really for sure, like, was he a part of this? Because he played his senior year for his grandma and his girlfriend who passed away on the same day. And it was this amazing story. And then it came out a few months later, like, there was no girlfriend. And so it was like, did Manti make this up as like this story for himself to like get some, you know, maybe he wouldn't have been nominated for the Heisman if he didn't have such a great story about him. So it kind of sullied his name. And I think a lot of teams and people like maybe didn't think he was involved, but just didn't want the drama. He didn't get drafted till the second round, and which takes your contract from like huge dollars, much less. If I were Manti, like, I would fucking sue the shit out of this woman. Every $1 million that I did not make. Like, and the thing about Manti is, like, he forgives her. And he just could never be me. Like, I would forgive this person.
I'm always shocked when, like, the perpetrator agrees to sit down for the documentary. One, because, like, you're never going to come off the hero. And two, like, you're probably just better off, like, having people not really know what you look like.
Yeah. Well, I think when it all happened, like, Renaya said that couldn't get jobs or anything. Maybe she thinks now this is, like, clearing her name. And hearing from her was, like, good for us to see, like, how twisted this person could be. And, like,
makes for great entertainment.
Really thinking that she was, like, helping Manti. Like, at one point she was, like, I would, like, tell him, you know, things about the game that he was – because –
oh my God.
And he would, like, really thinking that she was responsible for his success. Just
delusion, mental illness.
And it also shows, like, just the role of the media and, like, bringing someone up. Like, everyone was, like, all in for Manti, and then they just fucking chew you up and spit you out. And that's so even sad. Like, his football game changed after the whole scandal because he, like, couldn't trust himself anymore because he's like,
no, of course.
His therapist said, he was like, have you forgiven Renaya? And Manti's like, yeah, yeah. And his therapist's like, have you forgiven yourself?
No.
And he, like, hadn't. It was just an amazing documentary. I know everybody watched it, like, 2 months ago, and I'm, like, so fucking behind, but let me live. And I just, like, justice for, I don't know what we can do for Manti. He now is married and has a baby girl, and so I think he's thriving. And he did play some years in the NFL, but obviously not to the degree that everyone thought that he would. And it's just like, this person out of nowhere, like, came into his life and fucking ruined it. And nothing that he did, like, deserved it. Like, nothing that he didn't, like, seek this person out. Like, just so messed up. And it was so, I'm sure at the time too, people were like, how could this big, you know, college player have a girlfriend that he's never met? And it's like, when you hear the circumstances, it actually makes a lot of sense. He was from Hawaii. He played football for Notre Dame, which is a Catholic school, but he's Polynesian Mormon. So at Notre Dame, he definitely was a bit of a fish out of water. And, like, this person reaches out to him on Facebook who's part of his community and feels, you know, like home. And they create this, like, they start talking. And I think it was just, like, someone he could open up to.
I'm literally going to cry, like, taking advantage of a vulnerable person.
Claudia, like, I literally could cry. And I just don't know how we can support Manti now, but we absolutely have to. Now, I think for him, he should be a motivational speaker because he's literally the most positive, like, precious gem of a Manti that I've ever,
you know, that I've ever known. We need Kris Jenner to manage him.
Yeah. And Olivia was telling me that, like, when the documentary came out, like, there's been this whole Manti renaissance, which I'm so happy for. And I just, let me know how we can support Manti in all of his endeavors because I fully intend to.
Well, I think we can all start by just following him on Instagram. I think that's a currency these days and it can't hurt.
Yeah, so true. So anyways, he went back to Notre Dame for the first time in 10 years to a hero's welcome. He's like choking up and like teary-eyed. And the whole stadium is like going crazy. Like Manti was like their
hero.
Their hero. So if you haven't watched it, you should watch it, Claudia.
Okay, by the way, I have to eat lunch after this and I have like 2 hours to do nothing. I'll put it up on my computer.
Can't wait. And then watch Tell Me Lies. But let's do TV recap.
Yes, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm so curious to know your thoughts because we finally got down to like the 818 drama. I think the big blow up that everyone has been talking about since before the season even premiered with Kathy happens next week. Lisa Rinna is the perpetrator of it. But before that, like, I really want to talk about like this break in the group, how like everyone's leaving Kyle's house. And Kyle looked a little crazy, but like, I thought she was totally justified in like being so upset. Like, Dorit's her best friend. Like, I think sometimes Dorit like wants to be married to her and Mauricio. And for her to leave, I totally understood like wanting to feel safe. I totally get feeling safer in a hotel than in a house. I get that. But like, I don't know, like running around with Erica, like it would hurt. And obviously for some reason, this whole Kimosabe affair like was a really big deal to Kyle for whatever reason. Either it's the fact that like she spends a lot of time there with her family, or just her getting the store to agree to film and close down was a big deal. And the way like nobody came, like that would have upset me too.
No, it would have upset me, but I did not feel sympathy for Kyle. I thought she was acting like a child and a loser, honestly. And the whole like, you know what, you can't predict like what event is going to slap, what event is going to be like, you know, you can't, even on a trip of lay people, you know, sometimes it's the best nights are like when you didn't really have much plan. And sometimes you go to the extent of planning so deeply and like, it just doesn't, people aren't in a good mood. Like people don't want to be there. Like trips are just funny, especially girls trips. You can't plan what the best moment's going to be. And like Kyle just kept trying to like manufacture this moment at Kimosabe. And it's like, I don't feel sorry for you if you cared about people being there and having fun. Like, you would have had them drinking Kathy's tequila. You saw how upset that made her. And so, like, I was so upset for Kathy on behalf of Kathy the whole episode. And, like, Kyle is really the perpetrator in that instance. And it's like, okay, so you want Dorit there, but you don't give a shit if your sister's there? So,
by the way, true. And they did have Kathy's tequila, but they like weren't, it's like they were told they have to have it and put it out, but they forgot. They just had it and they didn't do anything with it. And like Lisa Rinna is so intentional. Like the way she's like, my friend, Kendall. Bleh.
Okay. Oh my God, if you're friend? So close, first of all, if you're so close to her, you would have already tried it. No, it's been out for like a year. It's been out for like a year. And like, and it's like awkward at her being like my friend, Kendall Jenner, when like Kyle is actually best friends with Kris Jenner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I and as much as, yes, Kyle and Dorit are very close and Dorit happened to be off with Erica all day, like Kyle, Dorit and Erica and Lisa are really close. I do think all four of them are kind of interchangeable. And Erica just happened to be like in the room with Dorit and Dorit happened to be there to, you know, she was going to be a friend to Erica just because that's the friend that she woke up next to. I don't think it was really about picking sides or anything, but just like trying to be there for Erica. It's so weird because
Erica has lost her fucking mind. Like,
she has. She has. But I felt like for the first time, I was understanding what she was trying to say.
No, by the way, of course. And you know what? If I'm in her position and like I've just been dragged for over a year into being called like some terrible things that I'm definitely close to, but I'm not responsible for. I understand the frustration, but like the lack of self-awareness to the fact that she's filming a TV show. It's like she's really just decided she doesn't give a fuck what the audience thinks of her, even if it gets her fired.
Yeah, she doesn't care what the audience thinks of her. But there were two things that I felt like slipped through the cracks of like what she was trying to say, which was one, that she, you know, everything with her has to be like allege this, allege that. Even the victims, like until it is proven, like she has to say alleged victims. Yep. Now, I think that there are victims 100%. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, when there's like a big class action situation like this, there are nefarious actors who come
like ambulance chaser vibes.
Who come in and try and like get something too. Yes. So she can't, like, if she just sweepingly is like, yes, they're all victims, like, she's actually might be giving credence to people who don't have an actual grievance to air. So
totally.
I do think that is sort of prudent of her. And then also, like, her saying with the earrings, like, if she just gives over the earrings because that
it's admitting, by the way,
no, not even it's admitting guilt, but just because it feels like the right thing to do. Again, like, that money, whatever earring money, could go to some of those claimants who are not legitimate. As we just established, there are people who come out of the woodwork, who try, like, that's just not the way that things are done. So when she's yelling at Crystal and is like, you're just doing that out of the court of public opinion, but like, there is a law and I will follow the law, like, I understood what she was saying. It's like, you can't just like operate based on feeling, especially when you don't know which of the big group of people which are the legitimate victims, which there are, and who are people who are just, who are trying to further victimize those people. Right. So she didn't get her point across in any good way, but that was like
good way.
The first time where I feel like I actually understood her frame of mind.
No, for sure. And by the way, I'm like sympathetic to the fact that like what she's going through fucking sucks. But I think just the way that she acts towards the women is like, and unevenly, like,
yeah,
the way she got so mad at Kyle when like Kyle really didn't do anything, like, calm down. The way she's just so unrelenting on Sutton. And I thought it was so manipulative how she was like to Crystal, like, I've been such a good friend with you. I sat with you while you cried in Mexico. So basically in Mexico, Crystal and Sutton had gotten to like a dumb fight and Crystal started crying. And Erica was so like hating Sutton like to the 10th degree. She doesn't even like Crystal, but she went over to Crystal to be like, look, we're all victims of Sutton. It was so calculating and right. so manipulative. It actually, like, it looked pathetic. It looked so desperate on Erica's part that I wish Crystal had been like, please, you didn't come over to me for me. You came over to me to like make this group against Sutton. It was so obviously like manipulative.
Sorry, my phone dropped. I can't believe Crystal didn't see that. Like, you're just telling me and I can tell you that it's like she didn't care. Really,
like, she didn't even Crystal. Look at Crystal twice before that. And now she's like, I get it, girl. Like, I get it. Like, it was so fraudulent.
Yeah. Also, I had mostly been hearing about all this Diana stuff, like, from you and, like, from, like, Instagram or, you know, people just talking about, oh, Diana's, like, so evil, whatever. And that moment, the first night that they got to Aspen, was, like, really nasty.
The C word,
like, so nasty. Yeah. But taking that out of it, like, up until that point, I actually, am I the only one who, like, kind of understood where Diana was coming from about the miscarriage thing? Like,
for sure, by the way, like, Sutton, that was a weird thing Sutton did wrong. At our sales party. Yes. Yeah,
first she comes in being like, you can be here, but you're bleeding, but you're miscarrying. It's like, shut up. Like,
yeah.
this really happened to this person. And, like, and then in order to say, like, oh, no, I do care, she's, like, telling her something that she hasn't, like, and expecting a warm reaction.
No, so that's where I disagree. I think, like, no one's really talking about, because, like, Diana's the worst, but no one's really talking about how, like, it all started. Like, Sutton, that was really fucked up what she said. Like, even if there was inconsistencies in, like, you're on bed rest, but you're here, like, shut up. But everything that happened after that, in that conversation and then just afterwards, like, is so insane. Like, Diana's so out of pocket on so many things. She's such a mean girl, like, beyond. And I think, like, Sutton, like, for the one time in her life, like, decided to be on the offense. And she, like, handled it, like, in an extremely unethical manner. Like, that was not cool, what she said to Diana about the miscarriage. But then, it's just incessant. It's nonstop. And, like, she could have decided she doesn't like Sutton and, like, moved on from it. But, like, she just keeps going lower and lower. And, like, when they're all just, like, sitting there, and everyone's being mean to Sutton, like, not just Diana. And the way that Garcelle's, like, the only one with a heart is so beyond surprising to me. And I don't know how Sutton pretends to be friends with Kyle. Kyle is the worst fucking friend.
No, and
she's
Kyle,
a terrible sister, a terrible friend.
Kyle is, like, doing this thing this season where it's like, I'm just gonna be fucking lazy and just talk about everybody else's beef, not get involved in anything, and just, like, continue to bring shit up when people are on the mend, or, like, just constantly, she is stirring the pot. Like, it's so crazy.
In a really obvious way.
She's not even being subtle.
Right.
And it's like, she did it to Sutton all last season, like, bringing up any awkwardness Sutton was experiencing. It's like, let things just happen. And then this season, she's doing it all the time, and it's so weird. I don't know how, like, someone doesn't call her out. And just, like, that whole conversation in Aspen was because of Kyle started it.
Yeah, oh, by the way, Kyle brings everything up. And she's gotten, like, lazy over the years. You're right. Like, she used to have, like, a really good way of being, like, subtly bringing stuff up. This time she's like, so let's talk about Sutton.
Yeah.
Like, she's not even good at hiding it anymore.
No, she'd be like, thanks everyone for coming, but it feels like Sutton and Diana don't like each other. Let's talk about that. But when Kyle and Erica are having a fight and Kyle's really torn up about it, she wants to speak to Erica privately. But
alone.
She insists that everyone else air their shit out in the whole group.
So last week when I was telling you about, like, her and Kathy, like, her just kind of blowing up Kathy's spot at every chance with the purse and the slippers, and you thought maybe it was her way of, like, getting in on the fanfare. What are your thoughts now that you've actually seen it?
I think it's a little bit of both still. I do think it's her still, like, just trying to, you know, be in on Kathy's moments because everything Kathy does is, like, accidentally iconic.
Viral.
But I also think it's, like, her wanting to just, like, put her down. But, I mean, if Kathy does snap next week, it's, shocking that she didn't snap sooner. Like, she's so disrespected by Kyle and Rinna too. And she's in a house with him. Like, why is Kathy in a bunk bed? She's your sister. She's She's your older sister. I would never put Olivia in a bunk bed when there's other rooms that I put my friends in.
Oh my God, totally. The accommodations is weird. When I saw Kathy laying in the bunk bed, I'm like, wow, she's a real trooper. Like, even though she's like this hoity-toity Hilton, the richest one of the group, like, she's laying in a bunk bed.
Also, everyone's like, oh my God, this thing next week, it's so big. Like, it's so crazy. But if Lisa Rinna is our only witness and narrator.
And it's not on camera.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's a big fat nothing burger, honestly. I don't think
I completely
agree. I don't think it's anything. And I think if we're going on the word of Lisa, like, this is nothing. It's a nothing.
100%. And by the way, justice for Kathy. Like, the way Lisa had the absolute gall to say in her confessionals, like, all right, Kathy, like, promoting the tequila, like, it's a lot. We get, like, you're kidding me, right?
Yeah.
You're kidding. Rinna Beauty. Yeah. Rinna Rosé. And that's just this season. QVC.
Yeah.
DNA clothing for your kids. Every season, it's another low-budget affair. At least this tequila, by the way, they sent me a bottle because I was firmly Team Kathy. They reached out. Thank you, Casa del Sol. It's backed by Eva Longoria, a ton of celebrities. It's extremely legitimate. Like, jealous wench much, Lisa?
And it's not like they don't drink tequila.
Yeah, like, it's not like she's literally bringing them yoga mats, okay? Like, and they're all partying, like, let's do yoga. It's not a big deal. And Kathy's not a professional thirst monster like the others. So yeah, are her overtures like a little over the top? Like, where's the tequila? Because she's just a normal human being. She doesn't think, how can I subtly like have an advantage in this scene? She doesn't think the way the other women think in order to like promote themselves without being obvious. She doesn't care. She's on the show. She's famous. Oh, this is a great platform. I just invested in this thing. Let me put it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel for her on this trip. And I'm it's going to take a lot of convincing and some real fucking footage for me to turn.
Real footage. So they filmed the reunion this week. It's, I think, the only reunion in history that doesn't have a cast photo. Andy said, like, it was so, they could not speak. Like, nobody got up for a photo. They all just left. They didn't even realize till afterwards that they forgot the cast photo.
I wonder what the beef is, like, and if longstanding friendships are being challenged. Because if it's just the usual, like, Garcelle versus everyone who's so fucking mean.
And Garcelle having to put all morality on her back.
No, it's, but thank God we have her.
Thank God we have her. She is just, do you understand what I've been saying? Like, is she your favorite housewife of all time?
Like, she really is, because like, she's so on the money. And
she's still funny and entertaining and all that.
And like, she sticks up for her friends, like, even when it's not popular. Like, she's that saying, like, what's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular. Bruno loves Bruno. Garcelle.
So we'll get back on track with the recaps this week, and tomorrow's episode we'll try and do House of the Dragon, and Unburden Yourselves.
Unburden Yourselves and Untold.
What?
Untold. That's what the series of documentaries of the Manti Te'o thing is.
Got it. Okay. And Untold. So that was our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast and Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.